This is the Carolina Catholic Radio Homily of the Day, featuring Father Herbert Burke of Immaculate Conception Church of Forest City, North Carolina.
As Catholics, sometimes we get asked the question, why do you Catholics worship Mary? And so that's really kind of a trick question. So I respond, when did you stop beating your wife? Well, I never started to beat my wife. Well, we never started to worship Mary. The question presupposes that I'm supposed to defend something that I don't believe. So you want me to explain why we worship Mary when we don't? Now, we do honor Mary as God and the angels do. And so we are part of that heavenly family. So in the gospel, we see today the reading, the Holy Spirit is in Elizabeth and she cries out, blessed are you among women. And also right after that, blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. So we see this twofold blessing for Mary and for Jesus. What precedes this? In chapter 1 of the Gospel of Luke, the angel Gabriel comes and says, Hail Mary, full of grace. That word hail, full of grace. Who told the archangel Gabriel to say, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you? God the Father, he sent him. So God the Father is honoring the daughter that he created with the words hail, complimenting her on being full of grace and empty of sin, complimenting her that the Lord is with her. And so then we see the second part of the Hail Mary here in today's gospel. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. So what they like to argue is they go, oh, well, if you look at Luke 11, we see that Jesus criticizes that Hail Mary prayer. Okay, let's take a look at that and see if Jesus is having an argument with the Father and the Holy Spirit and saying, no, you know, Gabriel got it wrong, the Holy Spirit, they just didn't know what they were doing. They were having an off day. Well, they like to take this quote of this woman in the crowd, which was last night's gospel from Luke 11, and this woman from the crowd calls out and says, blessed is the womb that carried you and the breast at which you nursed. Jesus replies, rather blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it. So what's going on here? Is Jesus attacking the words of the Father and the Holy Spirit delivered through the Archangel Gabriel and Saint Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist? I don't think so. Jesus is pointing out that this woman is having a couple of different problems. First of all, she's envious or jealous of Mary. Second of all, she's thinking that it's about the physical. What is it that the Jews were famous for saying? We are sons of Abraham. And Jesus tells them, God can raise up children of Abraham out of these stones. It's not about being sons of Abraham. It's about doing the will of God. See, on earth, we have the good old boys club. It's not what you know, it's who you know. Somebody will take care of that for you. You know, I know this person or that person, and that helps you get a job and social networking. In heaven, it doesn't work like that. In heaven, it's based on whether or not you do God's will. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it. Well, certainly Mary heard the word of God and observed it. And Jesus is pointing out that that is what her blessing was in, and that is the blessing that is available to this woman, is she would get her mind off of that whole genealogy thing in the physical and recognize that God is, not about, you know, the good old boys club and who you know and connected like that. God is about those who do his will. Those are the ones that he loves. Those are the ones who connect with God. So, also if we look at the words, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast at which you nursed. It's talking about the physical aspects of the woman involving birthing and nourishing the child. Whereas the Archangel Gabriel says, blessed are you, the person among women. So, and how is she blessed? What are the words that precede that from the Archangel Gabriel before the Holy Spirit sends that message? Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you. meaning she does do God's will. So when they come and try to use Luke 11 to attack the Hail Mary, point out that the words blessed and the word womb are in both sentences, but it ends there. The Hail Mary prayer is about the blessing of the person, Mary, for the Lord is with her. It's not about, oh, I wish I was Mary because she's so close to Jesus. You know, this woman is wishing that she had that relationship with Jesus, and with Jesus saying, no, it's not about the physical. It's about the spiritual. It's about doing God's will. So, as we look further into how to deal with this issue, we have a couple other little keys that Scripture gives us. Our second reading from today, 1 Corinthians, says, just as in Adam all die, so too in Christ all shall be brought to life. Death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead came also through a man. So St. Paul is using a thing called typology, person, place, thing, or event in the Old Testament that prefigures a person, place, thing, or event in the New. And so he is making a typology connection between Christ and Adam, that Christ is the new Adam. Well, the church fathers said, well, if Christ is the new Adam, Mary is the new Eve. And so the saying, death through Eve and life through Mary. Eve listened to an evil angel and brought sin and death into the world. Mary listened to the good angel, Gabriel, and brought grace and life and redemption to the world through agreeing to become the mother of God. And so we see the role of Mary. Jesus works his first miracle in John chapter 2 through Mary's intercession. The water is turned into wine. And our reading here from the book of Revelation, notice it starts out with Revelation 11 and then goes into Revelation 12. Why is that? Why do we have the last verse of chapter 11 connected to the first verse of chapter 12 in our first reading? Just a coincidence, an accident? No. The scriptures are pointing out, and the editor of the lectionary put that in there for a reason. Now, the numbers that are in the Bible were added later. When John sat there and wrote the book of Revelation, he didn't say, okay, this is chapter 12, and he drew this little 12 there, and then, okay, verse 1, put 1. We added the numbers. It was a continuous prose when he wrote it. So, what does this mean? God's temple in heaven was open. The Ark of his covenant could be seen in the temple. Okay, where's Indiana Jones? Where's the Ark of the Covenant? Then it says, a great sign appeared in the sky, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. So what has this woman got to do with the Ark of the Covenant? What does Jesus say at the Last Supper? This is the new covenant in my blood. Where does his blood come from? Mary. Mary is his human mother, and his body, his physical body, is derived from hers. Well, what is in the Ark of the Covenant? Three things that point to Christ. The Word of God in stone, the Ten Commandments. Now in Christ, the Word becomes flesh and dwells among us. Secondly, the staff of Aaron, pointing to the priesthood, and the manna that falls from heaven, pointing to the Eucharist. In John chapter 6, Jesus uses the symbol of the manna from heaven. Your fathers ate the manna in heaven, and I will give you the true bread from heaven. I am the living bread come down from heaven. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood will have life within them, and I will raise them up on the last day. So, and at the Last Supper, this is the new covenant in my blood. This is the cup of my blood. This is my body, which will be given up for you. So, through Holy Communion, we become connected to Jesus and really to Mary. Jesus comes and dwells within us, and then we have Mary as our spiritual mother. We enter into the family of God. What kind of family doesn't have a mother? So, the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament was a symbolic prefiguring for Mary. Mary is called the Ark of the New Covenant. The Ark was the container. In the Old Testament, it was basically, you know, wood covered over with gold with two images of angels on top. And I always get a laugh when we get criticized, well, you know, you Catholics have statues, they're graven images. And I say, well, really? Did you know that the Ten Commandments, which talks against graven images, has on the top of it two golden angels that were commanded to be made by God above it? So if our images of angels or the saints are graven images, I think God broke his own law when he commanded the Ark of the Covenant be made that way. So obviously it's not a graven image. A statue is a 3D rendering. It's a 3D picture. So really, if you're going to say any image, any picture, you know, every time you take a selfie, you've got a graven image. There you go. Committing sin. It's absurd. So the fact of the matter is that there are images that we can have, like the angels on the Ark of the Covenant, statues of Mary, that are meditative aids that remind us. No one believes that the statues are God. That's when you have a graven image. When you have an image that you are worshiping as God. So that's really where the problem comes in. So another chapter I like to point out is Revelation 12. Talks about the woman. On her head a crown of 12 stars. What kind of woman wears a crown? A queen. She's with child and wailed aloud in pain as she labored to give birth. Why is she wailing aloud in pain? Did Mary have a rough time giving birth to Jesus at Bethlehem? The thing about the book of Revelation is that it is a thing that mixes and plays with time. You have the past, the present, and the future converging together. It's not meant to be chronological. Where is Mary in pain, giving birth? At the foot of the cross. She is wailing aloud in pain because she's watching her son die on the cross. And what does Jesus say at that moment? Woman, behold your son. And to John, behold your mother. Establishing a new spiritual relationship with his disciples. It's at that moment, as Jesus is dying, that he makes the official connection between his mother and the church, that she is now the mother of his disciples, and establishes a new relationship. And then some people say, well, you know, he just wanted John to take care of Mary. Really? Is that some fancy poetic way when he says, behold your mother? So God, the Word of God in flesh, is making a statement. He's establishing a relationship between John and Mary and between us and Mary. It's not just, oh, take care of mom, I'm dying on the cross. Way beyond that. He's making it clear who Mary is in the family of God. So if she's our spiritual mother, then we should honor her. Now, getting back to Revelation, it says she's with child. So how is this connected with Bethlehem? If Mary gives birth to Jesus in Bethlehem, well, what is Jesus? The head of the mystical body of the church. And when you read the Pope's encyclical, where he talks about this, he connects the understanding of John 19 and the Mary at the foot of the cross with the pain, because Mary is not only giving birth to Christ, the head of the mystical body, but all of the members. And it's in pain, because when is Christ paying the debt for sin? At the cross. And Mary is there. And so she shares in that pain, watching her son die. The incredible agony. Mary's without sin. She's the new Eve, the new sinless virgin, replacing Eve who failed. So we see this powerful moment. And the dragon is there, who's coming after her. Now, sometimes they'll argue when you point out that this woman is Mary. No, that's a symbol for Israel. Well, there's some problems with that. Because if you look in the chapter, there's three other persons that are real and not symbols. There's Satan, Saint Michael the Archangel, and the son that the woman gives birth to, who will rule the nation with an iron rod and has caught up to God at his throne. So clearly those three people are real people, not symbols. So why is the fourth figure in this narrative they cannot be a real person. It says a woman clothed with the sun. No, can't be Mary. Well, she gives birth to the child who, you know, ruled the nations with an iron rod. And you know, the dragon seeks to devour the child at birth. That's King Herod trying to kill Jesus when he's born. No, it can't be Mary. Why not? Looks like Mary. Looks like Mary to me. Look that way for people through the centuries. And then when you get to verse 17, it says, enraged at the woman's escape, because Mary never sins, and so she escapes from the dragon. It says, the devil makes war against the rest of her children, those who give witness to Jesus and keep God's commandments. That's the church. That's the rest of her children. That's us. We are her children. She's our mother, and we honor her. So it is fitting that Mary, at the end of her earthly life, should be assumed into heaven, body and soul, because she is the most faithful disciple. Do we have anyone else in Scripture who might have gone to heaven with their body? Enoch, he walked with God, and then God took him. Elijah was the great prophet. I mean, it doesn't get any cooler than Elijah. He's sitting on a mountain, and three armies come to get him. And the first army shows up, and he calls fire down from heaven, and they're toast. Second group shows up, barbecued. I mean, who's going to mess with Elijah? So the third group shows up and says, look, you know, we just want to talk, okay? They're looking at the other guys burnt up. We just want to talk. We're not coming to attack. So Elijah says, okay, if you want to talk, I'll come with you. So there's Elijah, who goes to heaven in a fiery chariot. He shows up to talk to Jesus in the gospel at the Mount of the Transfiguration. Who's there with him? Moses. What about Moses? Now, Moses is kind of fun. Because the first guy mentioned Enoch. There's a book attributed to Enoch, the Apocryphal Book of Enoch. And it was thought to be put into the Bible, but there were some problems with it. But you know what? That book of Enoch is so slick, it still found its way into the Bible. How's that? Well, the book in the Bible that's the smallest in the New Testament that nobody ever reads is the Epistle of St. Jude. And in it, he references the book of Enoch. And he talks about how the devil was going after the body of Moses. And Michael the archangel was fighting with him over the body of Moses. Now, we don't know what the devil wanted to do with the body of Moses, but there's, according to some traditions, that after a time, the body of Moses was assumed into heaven. There's the apocryphal assumption of Moses. So Moses was there with Elijah at the Transfiguration. So you figure you got Elijah, you've got Enoch, possibly Moses. Who else we got? Well, if you look at the death of Christ in Matthew's gospel, it says very clearly, after Jesus dies on the cross, there's an earthquake, the tombs of many of the saints and prophets were opened. And it says, after his resurrection, they rose with their bodies and went into the city of Jerusalem and appeared apparitions to many with their bodies. So you got many people getting their bodies back. Well, you got all these people getting their bodies back, bodies flying everywhere. Surely Mary can get in on the action. I mean, she's blessed among all women. Heaven's got to be an equal opportunity employer. They can't be sexist and discriminate. Only the men can get those resurrections early. So, obviously Mary is going to be getting her body back and having a share in the resurrection. Because that's where the body of Jesus comes from. She gives birth to Jesus. So today we celebrate that assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, body and soul, into heaven. And Mary is the most faithful of all of God's disciples. When you read in Scripture that line, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the kingdom prepared for you from before the foundation of the world. Is there anyone that was more faithful in prayer, more humble, more loving to Christ than Mary? Mary was the greatest of all of the disciples. She is the one we seek to imitate. She is the one saint we look up to the most, blessed among all women and all men except Jesus. So she is the queen of angels and saints, the queen of heaven and earth, the woman clothed with the sun and on her head a crown of 12 stars. And we are grateful that God has given his mother to be our mother. Jesus' last will and testament as he was dying on the cross, what was the gift that he bequeathed to us? His mother. He said, "Behold your mother. Woman, behold your son." Establishing that relationship. So Jesus gave us his mother to be our mother as he died on the cross. And the gift of assumption of the body, or the body going up, that he gave to Enoch and Elijah and many others. It says many, it doesn't name them, it just says many saints and holy men rose in their bodies in Matthew's gospel. Look it up. Right after Jesus dies, it talks about the earthquake and talks about many of them coming up from the earth, just as we hope to do someday on the last day at the resurrection. Surely Mary should be among them. So Mary is our great example. She's our loving mother. Jesus worked his first miracle through her intercession, through her request. And so when we say the Hail Mary prayer, we don't worship Mary. We honor Mary with the same words that God uses, that the angels use, that the saints use. Saint Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, the Holy Spirit inspires her. God the Father sends the Archangel Gabriel, and the Archangel Gabriel is the first one to verbally say on earth the first part of the Hail Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. So when we say the Hail Mary, we follow the example of honoring Mary that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit do, that the angels do, that the saints do. Blessed among all women. And what do we get for that? Mary prays for us and with us. What is it that Mary does? You ever wonder about that? If we're praying the rosary, what's Mary doing? Well, right here in the Gospel of Luke, after she's honored by the Holy Spirit, what does she say? My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. So she responds by worshiping God. So when we honor Mary, the highest saint in heaven, she prays for us and with us. And it turbocharges all of our prayers. The power of the same woman who requested of her son to work his first miracle in John chapter 2 at the wedding feast of Cana. They have no more wine. And Jesus turned the water into wine. May we call on the Blessed Mother to turn the difficult waters of our life into the joy of the wine of God. The wine that points, of course, to the Eucharist, the precious blood. That through honoring Mary and her worshiping God, praying for us and with us, that we will grow, as St. Louis de Montfort says, there is no faster or safer or better way to come to union with Christ than through true devotion to Mary.
This has been the Carolina Catholic Radio Homily of the Day on Carolina Catholic Radio Charlotte, 1270 AM, also streaming at carolinacatholicmedia.org and on the Carolina Catholic Media app.